Stand with me, please. I'm going to read in Titus chapter 2, just beginning in verse 11. I'll read aloud if you just follow along there. I'll read 11 through the end of the chapter. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And we certainly saw it tonight, didn't we?
Amen.
9 years old, 10 years old, getting baptized.
Amen.
That's, boy, the grace of God is everywhere you look. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In the school of grace. Let's pray. Father, again, please be honored and glorified. Give us liberty here. Save the lost. Work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. In the school of grace, we're talking about, just briefly this morning, about school and how children are going back and how God has a lot to teach us as well. And the best teacher that you'll ever run across, the best teacher you'll ever know, is grace. The grace of God will teach you many things that nobody else, no one else, and nobody else, nothing else could possibly teach you. The grace of God. I need to just define the grace, if you would, just real quickly, what it means to say when we say God's grace. Now, many of you may be familiar with the acronym. It's G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's old terminology, but it's still the truth. It's still the best way to really narrow down grace and see it for what it really is. It's the easiest way to remember it too. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. And it's everything that God can give to us through Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you another way. It's everything that God does give to us because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, if we're going to define the grace of God, we have to look at everything, really, that God gives us. Because every gift of God is a picture of His grace. Every free gift of God. I talked about the smiles of your children, these guys smiling when they got baptized. That's just God's grace. I mean, they're a little bit giggling and things, but that's okay. I want people to get excited about Jesus. Amen? It's much better that than some, well, anyway, than the other flip side. But the smiles, and we talked about just the sunshine, and we talked about just a strong embrace from somebody that loves you, and many things, many, many examples of God's grace. The air that we breathe, of course, the salvation of our souls, God giving us everlasting life because of Christ's expense on the cross of Calvary. God giving us really everything that He has.
Amen.
I mean, did not God give us His only begotten Son? That was the only one He had. Now, Miss Raquel over here has three sons, right? Now, she may say, well, you can take this one on a certain day, or you can take this one on another day. But in reality, she's not trying to give up her children. But she's got three. God only had one. And God gave His only one. That's beautiful. That's blessed. That is grace.
Amen.
That is the grace of God. God gave, and then because of God's grace, because of Him giving us, because of Jesus Christ, He freely, the Bible says, gives us all things.
Amen.
Every breath, every heartbeat, every time you look into your children's eyes, your husband, your wife, every time you earn a paycheck, don't forget that's God's grace.
Amen.
You've got strength, you've got ability, you've got a mind. Some of you have a mind. You can make a living. You can earn some money and feed yourself and your family. Praise God. That's His grace. I mean, how many thousands of starving people all over this world who wish they could have just a portion of what you have, what we have, God's grace. I made a statement recently that Jesus Christ and the grace of God are synonymous. In other words, you could go through the Bible and read where it says Jesus, and you could plug in the grace of God, and it would be the same thing. And that's true, but I want to kind of add to that. Tonight I want to build on that a little bit, if you will. In other words, I want to make it more wholehearted, if you will, more wholesome. What grace is God's character seen in Jesus, because of Jesus. So as you see Jesus Christ throughout the Bible, you see God's grace. Yes, Jesus is grace, but it's not just any grace, it's God's grace. See, I can give you grace. I can forgive you, or I can give you something that you don't deserve. I can give grace too. But I'm not talking about my grace or your grace. I'm talking about the grace of Almighty God. I'm talking about God giving us everything He has. That hasn't sunk in yet, has it? It's still bouncing off of some of our heads because we just don't understand it. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. This is the first mention of the word grace. When you're studying a topic, in the Bible, go to the first mention of it. The very first mention of it in the Bible. And listen, the Bible does not contradict itself, so whatever you find about it in that first mention, it's going to be consistent throughout the whole Bible. Okay? It's not going to change. It can't change. God's Word is consistent, faithful, and true. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, I don't have time to go into all of that. What's going on there is God's people are mixing with the heathen. Okay, just put it in other words, God's people are beginning to mix with God's men, or marrying the daughters of men, and they're intermingling, and they're causing tremendous chaos. Look in the next verse; it shows you. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination evil continually. It repented the Lord in verse 6 that he made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But look at that next verse. Here's the first mention of the word grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There it is. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not just any grace, but in the eyes of the Lord. The grace of God, Noah found it. Noah found it. And you say, well, how did Noah find it? That's not my message tonight. What I want you to see is just a little bit more about what this grace is. No matter how wicked the world is, God's grace is greater.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? There is not you can't get much more wicked than verse 5. The wickedness of man was so great in the earth, every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil. Now don't forget, there was no Bible. There was no Holy Spirit. There was no church. There was nothing. And the Bible says that God repented. He did not even wish. He wished I would have never made man. Every thought. Can you imagine? I can imagine. But no matter how wicked the world gets, God's grace is always greater.
Amen.
And that's true throughout the Bible. No matter how wicked. Also, when we look at this first mention of grace here, no matter how unworthy the sinner, God's grace will always save them. Noah was one of those men. Noah was living among those men. Listen to me now. Noah was part of that generation. Noah was part of that evil. He must have been different somehow. Yeah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't earn it. You don't earn grace. You find grace. God gives you grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He wasn't worthy of it. He wasn't dignified and holy. He was just a sinner like everybody else. But because of the grace of God, Noah was saved.
Amen.
Noah was saved and his whole family. So no matter how wicked the world is, God's grace is greater. No matter how unworthy the sinner. Don't tell me that God can't save you. Don't tell me that God can't save that person that you live next to. Don't tell me that God can't save that one you work with. That's a lie. God's grace is greater than their sin. God will save them if they want Him to.
Amen.
If they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how unworthy the sinner is. I also see here, no matter how long it takes to redeem them out of this old world, God's grace will safely sustain them until the end. Noah, notice it says 120 years. Now, the way I see it and the way I understand it, it took him a long time to build that ark. 120 years. I don't think he had contract help, contract labor. He had his sons probably. He may have had some people helping him for a while here and there until they got tired of it. But it took a long time to build that ark. But the grace that Noah found in God's eyes did not quit on him after 60 years. It did not quit on him after 70 years. It didn't quit on him after 100 years. It safely sustained him all the way through the flood. He was safe on the other side. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. In the Bible, the same grace we're talking about is the same throughout. No matter how wicked the world is. Are you understanding? No matter how wicked the world is. No matter how unworthy we are. We're part of that world. This morning we heard about the wheat and the tares. Everybody's a tare before they're wheat.
Amen.
Everybody's part of that wicked generation before the grace of God is given them. But everybody has no hope. Everybody is completely helpless and without God, without hope in this world, absent, completely enemy of God, every single one of us. But the grace of God is greater no matter how unworthy you are, no matter how wicked the generation is, and no matter how long you got to wait to get to heaven, the grace of God will sustain you.
Amen. That's good.
Glory to God. I like that.
Amen.
So in the Bible, beginning there, I want you to notice the very last verse in the Bible. Quickly, turn over there. Revelation 22, 21. You don't have to know what it is. Just find the last verse. Amen. Just keep looking until you find the end. Amen. Revelation 22, 21.
Amen.
The last thing God says to us. The last thing the Holy Spirit wishes upon all men. What is it? Judgment, condemnation, wrath, negative. The grace of not just anybody, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Is it with all? Our scripture told us in Titus chapter 2 that it hath appeared to all. But God's wish, God's desire in that last verse of the Bible is that it be with. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I just want to briefly, I don't know how far I'm going to get tonight, but I want to look at some specifics about this grace. I've said enough tonight to already make me just thankful. But I want to go through this and take my time. I don't want to rush. But the grace of God can be seen throughout the Word of God. But turn back to Titus now, where we were. I want to look at some specifics about this grace. I'm not going to rush, and I'll get where I get, and then we'll stop when I feel the need to stop. But the grace of God, Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Well, let's read verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's talking about the rapture. Now, let me say something to you just in passing here. Who's coming, God or our Savior Jesus Christ? It says the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Does that mean two people are coming? What's that mean? That means they're both coming because they're both the same person. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There it is, the Trinity again. But notice in verse 14, the first thing I want to look at, this grace teaches us. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Grace, the grace of God, true grace, is not stingy. As we go through these, I'm not at all trying to force anybody to do anything. Please don't misunderstand me. Sometimes I think when I preach, I think you feel like I'm just trying to put a burden on you to make you be and do. But I want you to understand that's not going to teach you anything. I'm simply going to help you see the grace of God and what the grace of God is and how that grace is trying to develop us.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that God saved us. He has, He's now conforming us to the image of His Son, the likeness of Jesus Christ, the grace of God. Remember, I told you earlier, the grace of God is best exemplified in just looking at the life of Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. And we see that in verse 14, first of all, the grace of God is not stingy.
Amen, brother.
He gave Himself. You can't give much more than yourself. Matter of fact, you can't give any more than yourself. If we learned that, the grace of God is not stingy. It's not you and me trying to find out how much we can give God and get away with. It's not about that. It's not about you and me trying to calculate. I'll tell you, I'm going to give God exactly this amount because that's His, and then it's all His.
Amen.
It's all His. Do you understand? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Grace gives way more than just 10%. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm not talking about just money now, but that's where most people think about when we talk about giving in church. But He gave Himself.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, grace is not stingy. God's grace is not stingy. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or do you to know. We want you to know of the, what? Grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That means their giving. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now stop right there. They were begging the missionaries to take their money.
Amen. Amen.
I've never seen that. Please take my money. Please take my money. That's the grace of God.
Amen.
How could they get to that point? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 4, praying us, asking us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, the money, and it was an offering, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first, there it is, first, gave their own selves to the Lord. Do you really know anything about... Do I know anything? Do we know anything about that? Do we know anything about that? I'm just talking to you tonight. I'm not going to preach on giving money. I'm not talking about giving money. The reason they gave and they enjoyed giving and they were begging missionaries to take their money and giving offerings and begging God to take it so they could be part of the ministry of the saints and getting people saved is because they first gave themselves.
Amen.
You can't give more than yourself.
Amen.
Because when you give yourself, everything you own goes with it.
Right.
Everything God's allowed you to manage goes with it.
Amen.
We're just stewards.
Amen.
He owns it all.
Right.
We don't own anything. You understand that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything is from God. But what do we give Him? See, law and bondage, and I have to, and I have to, and I have to. You're missing the point. You're missing the point of Christianity. Christianity is not religion.
Amen.
It's grace.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's not religion. It's not just going to church and doing what I got to do. The duty of man. I know that's in Ecclesiastes, though. And that book is full of a depressed man's theology or philosophy. Is it the duty of man? We should love the Lord and we should keep His commandments. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to love Him first, and that love will give ourselves to Him.
Amen.
What made Him give Himself to us? No man hath loved like His man. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I'm his friend. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. It just dawned on my pea brain not too long ago that I can call Him Jesus. He's not just Savior. He's not just Lord. He's not some distant figure. And He's my friend. I can call you Joshua. You're my brother and my friend.
Amen.
I call Him Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We don't get it, do we? Grace is not stingy. Grace says, Father, this is yours anyway. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands, take my feet, take my eyes, take my ears, take me, take my heart. That's why the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. Because that's grace. I'm guilty of standing up here and preaching to you what the Bible says, and I'm not going to apologize for preaching the Bible. Don't take me wrong. But grace is the Spirit, must be the Spirit behind that preaching and behind that obedience. Because if not, it's going to become drudgery. It's going to become duty. It's going to become mundane. It's just going to become something God is making me do. That's not grace. That's not grace. Grace is not stingy.
Amen.
Grace doesn't see how much we can get away with and give God and get away with it. Grace is not stingy. Jesus paid it all. Over there in 2 Corinthians where you're at, it goes on to say a lot of things in that chapter. Verse 9, though, jump down there. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, how rich was Jesus? How rich was Jesus? Seated at the right hand of God, all of the world his. You can't get much richer than that. God the Son, seated at the right hand of the Father, the Creator, the Maker of all things. He was rich. Way richer than any of us.
Amen.
And I certainly speak for myself. But now, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Rich. All the riches of God given to a worthless dirtbag like me because of his grace. God's riches given to me. I have become rich in Christ because of Jesus' death on the cross. And that's grace.
Amen.
You don't get it, do you? We don't get it. I'm trying not to preach this and just blow through this because this has got to sink in. This is what changes people's lives. This is what keeps you going. This is what keeps you faithful. You see, boys, this baptism water right here, it's not magic water. If you're going to stay in church and keep going and grow up in church, you're going to have to understand what grace means. And I know you're young, but that ought to be our song. That ought to be our story. That ought to be our theme. That ought to be preached from this pulpit. That ought to be taught in every class somehow or another. It ought to be felt when somebody comes into this congregation like Miss Raquel and her boys. They ought to feel like there's a grace. There's a spirit of love here. There's something here that I haven't found in church before. Because it's not church. It's not religion. It's Christianity. It's grace. It's salvation. It's him becoming poor so I can become rich.
Amen.
It's not stingy.
Amen. That's right.
It's not you and me punching our calculators and finding out how much we can give and get away with it. It's not you and me trying to see how little we can do and still not get out of God's will because we don't want to get punished. It's not. That's not grace.
Amen.
I wish I could make you see it. Grace is not stingy. Turn back to Titus quickly. Titus chapter 2, there where we were reading. Verse 15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And goes on, the thought continues there in chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Notice this next verse. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Grace is not stingy. Number two, grace is not selfish. Grace is not self-serving. See, these things, the grace of God is taught, and then it says, put them in mind, in verse 2, to speak evil of no man. To be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Grace doesn't live for self.
Amen.
Grace doesn't live to gratify myself. Turn to Philippians now, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? What mind is that? It's the mind of grace. It's the mind of, in verse 6, who being in the form of God. Remember, He was rich. He was in heaven. He was the Son of God. God the Son. But He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation. Took upon Him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God's grace is seen in Jesus Christ, and we see it in number 2 here. Not only is it not stingy, but it's not self-serving. It's not selfish. It's not about self. The grace that I'm talking about of God is humble and of no reputation. Grace is not self-serving. Grace is very serving, though.
Amen.
Do you see the difference? Grace is not self-serving, but grace is a servant. In verse 7, made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant. It's not about me and you serving ourselves and doing what we can. But God's grace has always shown us that it is about me and you becoming more like Christ, who is a servant. The grace of God is not stingy. The grace of God is not self-serving. The grace of God is meek and humble and esteems others better than themselves. You know, I've heard of churches being destroyed because one person wants one thing and another person wants another thing and they can't agree and they end up both leaving the church. This person takes that many people, this person takes that many people. It's all the pastor's fault and the church goes belly up. Is that grace? The grace I'm talking about is not self-serving, but it is a servant. It's not about me serving myself and making myself look good and sound good and always be right. Can I get an amen from you? It's not about me doing what I want to do. It's about me looking for ways to serve other people.
Amen.
That's what God did when He sent Jesus Christ. What? I know. God gained our salvation and He gained us as His children and He created us for His pleasure. So God did gain in this grace, but really, who gained it through this grace? Us or Him? Who gained the most when it comes to this grace? Did God really gain a lot when He got me? But we sure think that. But see, that's not grace. That's pride. That's flesh. That's carnality. That's God didn't gain when he saved us. We gained.
Amen.
We gained it all.
Yes,
We're not to be serving ourselves. Where did ourselves get us? Ourselves got us in a big mess. Ourselves got us in a big hog pit.
Yes, sir.
Grace is not self-serving, but grace is a servant. I'm going to finish with this last one, and we'll be done. Turn back to Titus. I want to focus on this one for a few minutes because this is a big problem, this next one. All of these are misunderstood and just overlooked. But this one here, I want to finish with this one. Go back to Titus chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 3 because the thought continues. Chapter 3, verse 3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's you and me before Christ. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, that's grace, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through grace.
Amen.
That being justified by His, what? Grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, what I want you to see here from those verses, and what Paul is telling Titus to be careful and to guard against, is that we're to speak evil of no man in verse 2. I read that to you. For we ourselves were sometimes just like them. And the last thought I want to focus on here is that grace is not a stone thrower.
Amen. That's good.
We were foolish, disobedient, deceived. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy. We were hateful. We were hating one another. But grace showed up. Grace showed up. The kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now stop right there and stay with me for a minute. When you see someone foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, do you offer them kindness and love, or do you throw stones? You need to listen to me. We all need to listen. Does the kindness and love of God rule our home? Ooh. When you look at your sisters, does the grace of God rule your heart? When you look at your husband, your wife, your parents, your siblings, when these guys look at each other, do they think loving kindness and forgiveness? Mom knows the answer. I know the answer. How wrong is that? In Christian homes where people say they're saved, where people call themselves Christians, and their own flesh and blood does something foolish, they can't wait to tell somebody about it.
Amen.
Oh, not because they're trying to protect them, because they can't wait to get them in trouble. That is wrong.
Amen.
And that is convicting, if you're listening.
Amen.
That's not what God did for us.
Amen.
That's not grace. We were just as foolish as that's what that verse says. And instead, when time comes for me to have it, I've got to decide, okay, somebody over here did something foolish. They might have even done it right at me. Well, every time we sin against God.
Yes, sir.
And His grace was His answer. Does that spirit control your house? God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. God sent not His grace into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through His grace might be saved. But yet we are the biggest stone throwers in the world.
Amen.
You know, as a pastor, I have to be very careful with this. God didn't cast stones.
Amen.
It's not my job to stand up there and cast stones at you.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, from the bottom of my heart, if I've ever done that, I surely didn't do it willfully, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And there's somebody that you need to go to and say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because all I've done is thrown stones at you. Every time you did something foolish, I just couldn't wait to get you in trouble. That's not grace.
Amen. That's right.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Zero. So who do you think you are condemning them?
Amen.
Boy, we're self-righteous.
Yes, sir.
We are the biggest Pharisees on the block, and we're saved. Folks, I'm tired of it. In my own home, in my own heart. It's wrong. It's not grace. It's completely self-righteous, stone-throwing condemnation. Where do we get off? God didn't do that to us. It was no works of righteousness that we had done, but by His mercy He saved us. Because of His grace and His loving kindness. We were the foolish ones. We do still do very foolish things, but God doesn't condemn us. He saved us. Why do we feel so easy to condemn everybody else? I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I'm tired of it. I can't control your homes. But that's not grace. That's Phariseeism. Turn to John chapter 8. You know where I'm going. John chapter 8. I promise you I'm just about done. Verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came in unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, these were the religious leaders, brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. She was a sinner. Now, stop right there for a minute. The sin itself is not the issue.
Amen.
All sin is sin.
Amen.
What I'm trying to get you to see is that these people, they were still going back to the book of Leviticus in the law, and they said, the Bible says in verse 5, Moses in the law commanded us, we such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Now stop right there. They were within their rights. They were still living under the law. They were still bound by their Old Testament law. They did not understand grace. And I'm afraid, dear beloved, that's where we're at today. We still don't understand grace.
Amen.
In the law, Moses said we should stone her. What sayest thou? And that's what our prayer needs to be. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, what does grace do here?
Amen.
This they said, tempting him, they might have accused him. Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. They continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm afraid some fundamental Baptist would have picked one up and thrown it.
Yeah.
In other words, our hearts were harder than the Pharisees.
Amen.
That's not grace. Yeah. That's not salvation. That's not what I'm... Don't you see what I'm trying to get at? We do it to our own family. We find an area where there's just a weakness there. Bam, bam, bam. 3 or 4 stones every time we get a chance.
Amen.
Are you where are you?
Amen.
You're not under grace. You're still walking under the law. You're still trying to find a way to condemn people. That's not grace. And that's wrong. And I'm tired of it.
Amen.
And I'm sorry. I'm guilty. We just all are. I'm guilty. I got to tell my wife and my children, I'm sorry. That's not grace. Grace doesn't throw stones. They all went away, convicted by their own conscience. Verse 10, Jesus lifted up himself, saw none but the woman. He said, Woman, where are all those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Grace does not throw stones. Because listen to me. How come Jesus didn't condemn her? Here's what happened. Here's the picture. They had stones in their hand. I'm convinced they had them ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And come here. Okay. They had stones ready to go.
Yep.
Emma, can I get you to help me for a second?
Come on,
please. I won't hurt you, I promise. Stand over there behind Samuel. This is all you got to do. Good job. Now, stand over here. Okay? They brought this woman. She's in sin. They got stones in their hands. And Jesus, come back over here, walked over in front of her and stood between her and them. And said, Let the first one of you that has no sin cast the first stone. They couldn't. They couldn't go through grace.
That's right.
They all went away.
Yep.
He turned around to her and said, Thy grace, my grace,
yep,
hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Have a seat, guys.
Yep, that's right.
He stood between her and the stone throwers.
Amen.
He's still standing there today. Every time you go to throw a stone at somebody, Amen. Remember this, if you throw that stone, you got to go through Jesus. Because He died for them too. And His grace is extended to them too. Now, I'm not talking about parents disciplining their children, but you better not do it to provoke wrath.
Amen.
You better not do it in order to try to hurt them.
Amen.
It's correction.
Amen.
It's to restore and change their behavior. It's not to throw a stone at them and bruise them for the rest of their lives.
Amen.
You see, we don't understand grace. Grace is not a stone thrower.
Amen.
It's not stingy. And it's not selfish. It's got to stop.
Right.
I'm being very transparent with you tonight on purpose. I know we've got visitors, but I want them to know that grace is our theme.
Amen.
Grace is our song.
Amen.
Grace is our life.
Yep, that's right.
Without it, we have no life.
Amen.
The grace of God saved my soul on May 13th, 2004, boys, just 11 years ago, before y'all were born. I was foolish. I was disobedient. I was taken with divers lust. I was a sinner deserving of a sinner's hell. God could have thrown stones at me and it would have been rightfully so. Just deserving. But He didn't. His grace reached out. I said, I'm not going to throw a stone at you. My hands have no stones. They have scars. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I don't deserve rest. But come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll save you. I'll love you. I'll forgive you. That's grace. I'm not going to condemn you. How dare we condemn our own? Grace is not stingy. Grace is not a stone thrower. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for Your help tonight. How far we wander from grace. How far we wander from Your loving kindness. Lord, we don't mean to. We don't mean to. Oh God, forgive us. Take our hearts tonight and remove all the hatred. God, forgive us. Remove the anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness. Work in all of our hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want us all to just be honest with God tonight. If you're not saved, grace is extended to you right here and right now. You are a sinner We all are. God doesn't deal with you in anger. He doesn't condemn you. He offers you grace, forgiveness, salvation, and mercy. If you need to be saved tonight, that's your hope. Christians, we just need to get right. I wish you would be honest with yourself tonight, honest with your families, and go to the ones that you've thrown stones at, and say, "I'm sorry. That was wrong." What revival we would have if we would get a hold of grace. Grace. Our co-workers don't deserve us to be condemning them. Their sin has already condemned them. Love them. Offer them grace. They know what condemnation feels like. They know what bondage feels like. But they have no idea what grace is. But they could see it in you. Instead of throwing stones at them, reach out to them and love them. Offer them grace. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. You can come to the altar. You can go to that person you need to talk to and say, "Would you pray with me at the altar?" But let's do it tonight. Let's not just go through a ritual of invitation. Let's do something. Can we please do that tonight? If you need to be saved tonight, just slip out of your chair. You can kneel there. You can come here. We can give you the Word of God and show you how to be saved. But if there's somebody that you've been throwing stones at, go to that person. Say, "I'm sorry."